Welcome to my podcast, New Dog, Now What? A podcast made especially for new dog owners. I'm Valerie Jane, and like thousands of others, I have recently welcomed a new dog into my world. I grew up with dogs, I love dogs, but this is the first time owning a dog myself, and there is so much to learn. Every episode, I get to welcome extraordinary, insightful experts to share information as we learn how to give our dogs the best possible lives. On today's episode, we welcome Allison Smith. Allison is the owner and operator of Leaside Dog Walkers and A1 Canine Training in Toronto. As a lifelong animal lover, her passion began early with horse riding and has led to competitive dog sports and the launch of her two successful businesses. We will discuss everything to consider when it comes to dog walking, including what credentials to look for, the different types of dog walkers, and how to ensure your dog's safety in different climates. Hi, Allison. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Really excited to talk about dog walking, something that is so important, whether we have a new puppy or whether we have an older dog. It's one of those very, very important pieces of our dog and making them and giving them a better life. So I thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's something that everyone kind of hears about, you know about dog walking, but a lot of people don't really think about. It's much more complex than taking your dog for a walk. There's a little bit more to it than that, that a lot of, especially new dog owners, don't always think about.
It's exactly that, is what is the role of it? And so jump in, like why do we need a dog walker?
Well, there's lots of reasons that people would have a dog walker. I mean, obviously the most common is you're not at home during the day and you want your dog to have, whether it's a bathroom break and some exercise, which is kind of what most people think of would be why I would have a dog walker. But it's a little more in depth than that. And especially now with the situation we're in with COVID, what we're finding and what I call all the COVID puppies we have, everyone getting new dogs is people are like, well, I'm home. I don't necessarily need a dog walker. And what we don't think about is that eventually, hopefully, we all go back to work and our kids are back in school. And then what happens to our puppies and our older dogs that are used to having someone around? So if we start with a dog walker now, we have a dog that's used to a routine, that gets a break from being in the house and with the family all day, and that it's not as big of a change. And for an older dog, an adult dog, you know, the bathroom break portion isn't maybe as important. I mean, dogs go all night without going to the bathroom. So some people are like, my dog is fine home alone all day. But really, to be fair to your dog, that's not always comfortable. I mean, I wouldn't be happy if you told me I couldn't go to the bathroom all day at work. But also it's that kind of that stimulation and that exercise component. Your dog walker takes your dog different places. They get exposed to different things, which is part of socialization, and that doesn't necessarily mean with another dog. So there's so many things to kind of consider with, should I have a dog walker and what do they bring to the table? And it's much more than just going outside for a potty break.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And when you talk about separation anxiety, we're actually going to be doing a show specific to that, because it is, you talk about the COVID puppies, and there are so many, and regardless of whether they're COVID puppies or whether you've got people with older dogs, everyone's been home for a year now, and mm-hmm. separation anxiety is a real thing. And so, you know, your dog may be used to going for walks on your schedule based on your working from home schedule, but how do we add that, that dog walk in to make sure that, yes, upon returning to normalness, that they kind of know what to expect and can give them that exactly. normalness, if you will, in their lives, right? So that it's not
for sure.
Shock.
For sure. And on top of that, especially with the younger dogs that, you know, maybe the COVID puppies and whatever, with the restrictions that we're all living with right now, your dog, you know, you don't have a lot of people coming into your house. You're not necessarily taking your puppy to a lot of places that we might have normally gone or gotten together with lots of people when you had a puppy before. So having a dog walker in also gives that socialization aspect even to another person, gets them into a routine. And then on top of that, when we do hopefully go back to our more regular routines, It's not just for the dog's benefit, but for a lot of people, you come home at the end of the day, you've had a long day at work, you've got the kids, you're trying to make dinner, everything's, you know, kind of chaotic. And if your dog's gone out with a dog walker during the day, you know that at least for that amount of time, your dog's had some really good exercise and mental stimulation, which is so important to the health of your dog. And there's a little less pressure on you if you don't always get that evening walk in.
Yeah, no, it's good. And now you have, I mean, I live downtown and there are thousands of dogs down here. And every day I see dog walkers. And I got to tell you, there are some really, I'm just going to call it what it is. It's terrible dog walkers. You know, they'll be walking with a number of dogs attached to their waist and they're on their cell phones, not paying attention. So I think knowing what to ask and what to look for in a dog walker is extremely important. So I know that there's a number of things. I mean, first of all, we're opening up our homes to them to come get our dogs. So that would be our first concern is, you know, reputation and history. So why don't you just dive in and share some things that we should be looking for in a dog walker?
For sure. There's so many things to consider. And you're right. One of the first things is you are giving this person access to your home. And 98% of the time, you're not going to be home. So you're giving someone a key to your house and an alarm code. And so there's the basics. Are they insured? Are they bonded? How long have they been in business? You know, can you talk to some of their current clients and get a feel for that? And you definitely need to have a good sit-down meeting with a dog walker before you agree to hire them. And go with your gut. I mean, if you're not comfortable with that person in your home in that first meeting, you're definitely not going to be comfortable giving them access to come and go as they please. On top of that, there's so many things to consider in terms of what kind of dog walks do they offer. So if you've got a young puppy, you're not sending them out in a big group of dogs for 2 to 3 hours. They're going to be exhausted and overwhelmed. So can that dog walker provide a puppy break? So will they come maybe twice a day? For a really young puppy that can only hold their bladder for a certain amount of time, you might need 2 short visits, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, depending on your work schedule. If you have a working breed or a hunting dog or really high energy, like a Husky or a Vizsla or a Weimaraner, these are dogs that need a lot of exercise. So they may need a longer dog walk. Senior dogs, again, you need a shorter dog walk. So those are things to talk about with your dog walker. Also, do they go to dog parks? Are there mainly off leash with the group of dogs they have, or do they walk on the city streets with your dogs on leash? And again, you're choosing between some dog walkers will do private dog walks and others will have a big group. So you have to really know your dog and what's going to be best for them in those situations. Some dogs love every dog and going to a dog park and playing with their buddies is fabulous. Other dogs aren't comfortable in those situations and dog parks can be really overwhelming. And you're trusting that the dog walker, not only that your dog is with, but all the other dog walkers that are in the dog park that day are paying attention and that your dog isn't getting bullied or picked on. And I have seen cases where a dog that isn't comfortable in those situations has been picked on or bullied, and now they become dog aggressive because they feel threatened. So that's a really big part of what is your dog walker offering and does it fit your dog's breed and personality and lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if your breed is one that they do love a 2-hour walk, it's like your specific dog, right? Like what can they handle? And maybe at the time of day too, like depending on your schedule, if you've gone morning, then, you know, the lunch hour doesn't maybe have to be as long as it normally would be. So I think it's just all those considerations.
Definitely. And for a lot of people, I mean, I know with my business, we often, when people call and request service, the first thing they ask me is, can you come and walk my dog at noon? And I would love to be able to say yes to everyone that I could come midday, but there's only so many dogs we can see at noon. And you have to kind of realize for an older dog, not a puppy, it's not so much about the potty breaks and the bladder. If you can find a great dog walker, but the time frame is, you know, earlier in the morning or later in the afternoon, don't discount that because you feel your dog needs a midday break. Most of the time, your dog really doesn't care what time they get to go out, as long as they get that part of their day where they're out and they're exercised and they're stimulated. And you really do also want to have a sense that the person walking your dog knows something about dogs. We are an unregulated industry. So anybody can say that they're a dog walker. And you can, if you're walking a group, once you have more than three dogs, at least in the city of Toronto, you need to have a dog walking license. If you have less than three dogs, you don't even need to get a license. But anyone can go and sign up and get one. So talk to your dog walker, find out what their experience is. Have they walked your breed of dog before? You know, it's very different taking a Chihuahua out than taking a Mastiff. Are they comfortable with that? So you need to kind of delve into their background a little bit more. It's more complicated than anybody can walk a dog.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a really important point is having somebody that likes dogs and is looking for that companionship and will walk the dog. That's great. But I think understanding your dog and knowing the signals, like watching your dog, knowing when they're afraid, knowing when they, understanding their body language, that's a big thing that I would look for in a dog walker, knowing that they can see that and recognize, oh, my dog's not comfortable in this situation or whatnot. Somebody that doesn't have that experience wouldn't be able to do that.
For sure. And I think not even just knowing it, but what is their policy? And so if you're choosing, say, a group dog walk situation, especially one that would be going to an off-leash dog park, because again, it's not just that group of, let's say, six dogs that they have. It's all the other dogs in the dog park. What are their policies? How do they introduce a new dog into their pack? How are they going to introduce your dog? How do they make sure that it's a good fit? And if it's not a good fit, you know, have they dealt with that in the past and what do they do about it? Ask them if they've ever had to break up a dog fight. It's something we don't want to think about, but it can happen, especially in a dog park situation. Do they know what to do? And also that comes back to, you know, first aid training. Are they certified? Is their certification up to date? Do they know what to do? Have they dealt with it? What is their policies? Especially when you get into those larger off-leash groups, it's fabulous for some dogs. It's great exercise. They have a lot of fun. But if the person in control doesn't know what they're doing, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, no, very much so. And I've seen it. You see the groups, and right? And if they're the dog walkers walking with five or six dogs and they come across another dog, it's what's that? You know, you're managing a lot of dogs. So to have that experience is very much key. And it's interesting because people, I think, so often are just, they make a quick decision, often based on price. And, you know, this is your dog. This is your child, essentially. And so asking those hard questions, no different than the questions that you were to ask initially when you were looking to adopt the dog or looking to talk to a breeder, like you should be asking those hard questions. And if you can't, and if they can't answer them, then that's not the dog walker for you. So I think those are, I mean, they're all good questions. You talk about first aid. We had St. John's Ambulance on to talk, and we did a whole episode on pet first aid. And it's just incredible, all the training that is included in it. Mm-hmm. And know that, yeah, absolutely, a dog walker should have those things, because there's so many different things wherever you are, whether you're in a warm desert or, you know, walking in the mountains, wherever it is. Situation is completely different. So that's all.
And the first aid courses, I mean, they do cover everything from, you know, heat exhaustion, frostbite, exposure to poisons. So it's not just if there's a cut or a bite or any of those things, but there's so many things to be looking for. And again, things that can be triggered by the weather, depending on where you live in the world. Is your dog suffering from heat exhaustion, which is deadly if left untreated. So those are things that you really want to know from your dog walker. And coming back to what you said about price, I've been exposed to that. People are like, oh, that's, you know, I don't want to spend that much. You know, you're entrusting someone with your dog, your fur child, as some of us would say. And that, you know, sometimes you get what you pay for. I actually had someone approach me because my company does mostly private or very small group walks. And I was out with one client dog privately. And I had a woman approach me and she was a dog walker. And she asked if I needed dog walking, not knowing that I was actually a dog walker. And out of curiosity, just started a conversation with her and asked her. And she's like, said that she could keep her rates really low because she doesn't have insurance. And I thought, that is not a selling feature to me. That is not how I'm selecting my dog walker. And if that is how you select your dog walker, well, then just, you know, buyer beware. So ask the questions. And sometimes, you know, you might have to pay a little bit more to get what is best for you and your dog.
Yeah, that's great advice. And it's an investment in making sure that, you said, they're getting that social stimulation, the exercise. It's a combination of all those things. So it's not just a simple potty break that you talk about. Now, we are the polar vortex, which has just hit many states and provinces across North America. Interesting to know about, you and I had chatted before this, just talking about understanding people's weather policies and what to look for.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you talk to your dog walker, one of the first things is you should have a written contract with them. If your dog walker doesn't have a written contract, you might want to rethink that person as your dog walker. And in the written contract, they should cover things such as, what are their weather policies? Do they ever cancel walks based on extreme weather? Or what do they do? So if it's extremely hot, what are they going to do with your dogs? So for me, we hit certain temperatures. We still come and take your dog out, but we may go to a park and spend more time in the shade and off the hot sidewalks, making sure that we're not walking on the concrete, checking dogs' feet to make sure that they're not getting burned. And on the flip side, with what we're going through now in the cold, not every dog can tolerate the cold. So I have a client that might pay me for a 1 hour walk. But if it's minus 35 and the dog is frozen and miserable, we're not going to stay outside for that amount of time. And our policy is, we come back to your home. If nobody's home, we spend the time with your dog inside, playing with toys, giving them that love and attention and playtime without freezing them. So, and also, what are your policies on, you know, will they put jackets and boots on your dog? Will they not? Well, what do they provide? And what do they ask you to provide? So it's really important to discuss all of those little policies. You know, if there's a severe thunderstorm, what does your dog walker do? Because you don't probably want your dog standing out in the middle of a dog park in the middle of a, you know, really bad thunderstorm. So discuss those things with them up front, because you don't want to, you know, if you're paying for an hour walk and your dog walker comes home at 30 minutes because of extreme weather, understand why that happened and understand that that's just part of it. We don't control the weather as dog walkers.
Yeah. And wherever you are, there's always crazy weather, mm-hmm. extreme heat. And what are some things that, you know, as a dog walker, you look for in terms of, like, I know where in the colder climates, some big concerns are obviously salt and gravel and cold itself. Mm-hmm. How are you watching for those? What can you recommend, just even, you know, people with dogs, what they should be doing with their pets when they're leaving their homes to take their dogs out?
For sure. I mean, I think in the cold weather, and especially if you're in the city, salt is a big concern, or whatever your city uses on their sidewalks. And that's not good for your dog's feet. Not only can it burn, salt is a burning sensation on your dog's paws, but also if they then come in the house and lick at it, you know, that is ingested and that's not good for them. So I normally recommend boots, especially if your dog is walking on city streets and smaller dogs. Again, you can get into some of the hardier breeds, Huskies, Malamutes, whatever. They travel over everything and it doesn't seem to bother them. Doesn't mean that putting a boot on is a bad thing. Protecting them from that salt is really important. Then you get into kind of the smaller dogs or the dogs with less coat. So dogs with really short coats, a dash and a short-haired Chihuahua, Jack Russell Terrier, Vizslas, all of those, they have very short coats. They get cold pretty easily. And wearing a coat is pretty important, especially if they're going out for more than a quick potty break. And one thing I often run into is with clients, you know, maybe they bought a really cute sweater and it looks adorable, but it's actually not very functional. So if you send your dog out in the snow and the rain and they're wearing a knit sweater, they look really cute at the beginning, but then it's soaking wet and your dog is actually colder. So think about it the kind of the same way you dress yourself. If it's wet and rainy, you need a jacket that's got some waterproof capabilities to keep your dog dry and happy. And then again, you want to know that your dog walker checks on your dog frequently. So check their ears, check their feet. Those are going to be kind of your first indications on whether they're too cold or too hot. And then you need to make a change pretty quickly because damage can occur fairly quickly to a dog. I've seen dogs that have walked on city sidewalks in the summer and they've burnt the pads of their feet because the dog walker, you know, maybe wasn't paying attention. So in the middle of the day, I will actually take a shoe off and put my own foot on a sidewalk to see how hot it is. And if I can't stand on it, my dog can't stand on it either.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you mentioned, you know, are you dressing them? Are you not? What are the kind of the rules for water? Are you sending your dog out with water? Or are they providing, or the dog walkers providing water? Is that something to be watching for in the policies?
Yeah, I mean, definitely most dog walkers will provide their own. And it is something that you would want to ask. And I would obviously, if my dog walker said, well, I don't carry water with me, then I would definitely want to be sending my dog with water. But to be perfectly honest, if a dog walker isn't providing water, it would be a red flag for me.
For sure. And what are, you know, you kind of, I mean, we talked about things to look for in a dog walker. Are there other red flags right away? Some that we haven't mentioned, because we've obviously talked about first aid, we've talked about insurance, and that's a huge one, and their history and reputation. Are there any other red flags? I mean, I think it's important that you actually do a test walk and watch them, because if I think, as seeing some of these dog walkers out there, if that was my dog walker, I would just be really disappointed in who I had hired, if they're walking around on their cell phones, not paying attention. Are there any other red flags that us as new dog owners, you might suggest that we look for?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it, when you're having your first meeting, you do have to trust your gut to a certain extent. And when you're asking the hard questions, how readily can they answer and be willing to discuss the hard questions? I would say if you have the opportunity to go for a walk with your dog walker and see how they get along with your dog and how they handle your dog, especially if your dog maybe isn't, you know, the perfectly mannered, automatically stays by your side, easy to walk dog. Lots of dogs, you know, chase squirrels or lunge at cars or all that. What happens when you're out on a walk with them? And then if you can be home, you know, maybe the first time and witness the introduction to the group, if they're going in a group, those things are all really important. If it's someone that works in your neighborhood, maybe you will get a chance to see them out with another group of dogs and be able to watch that a little bit. But it is an unfortunate part of the industry that most of the time you're not home and you really don't know what happens and your dog can't tell you. So things to watch out for, though, is your dog's behavior changing after they've started with a dog walker? If so, you might want to consider what is triggering this change. Are they reluctant to go with the dog walker? That shouldn't be the case unless your dog is kind of always reluctant to leave the house. They should be happy and excited, and they should come back relaxed and tired. If you're not seeing any of that, then that's something to question. And maybe it's just not the right dog walker for you or the right group. It doesn't always mean that it's a bad dog walker. It could mean that it's just not the right fit for your dog. But it can also mean that it's not the best dog walker, period. So keep a close eye on your dog's behavior and how it changes once you start with a dog walker.
Yeah, that's good advice. And everything you shared, Allison, is so, I appreciate it, because I think the role that you play and with your business is so important. Like, dog walking is something really, really important to giving our dogs the best lives. So I appreciate everything that you've shared today. And I'm sure many people have learned from this. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me on. It was great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of New Dog Now What. If you know someone with a new dog in their life, please be sure to share this episode with them and follow along on Instagram @newdoglifeca. Thanks for joining.